I loved the word that Paul gave about the impact of bad news. You know, that bad news, I mean, it just takes your hope away. I can, if I read enough headlines, I can just get really, I leave the continual feast and I go to the evil days, you know, and certainly around us, we're surrounded with distress and conflict and anger and hopelessness. And all these things feed addictions and self-destructive behavior. And our calling is to come to the feast of the Lord, the table that's set before you in his presence, in the presence of your enemies. And let him anoint your head with oil, have your cup run over, renew the truth that goodness and mercy are chasing after you, not disaster, not disease, not destruction, and that even in the midst of things falling apart, you're not falling apart, you're being built up. You're growing and being conformed to the image of Christ, and even the difficult things are like, how many know you were born at the right time in the right place? All, you know, there are days ordained for you, and we may not choose to be alive at this time, like, wow, you know, I wish it was, but I'm telling you, for such a time like this, such a time as this, you are here, and you're here not just trying to survive, but you're here called to be an ambassador of Christ, called to be a minister of reconciliation, called to shine like stars in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Hallelujah. So I just say, hi, good morning, starshine. The earth says hello. Okay. So, Father, we just pray. We love you. We thank you for the glorious gospel of the happy God, the blessed God who's blessed forever, the only wise God. That we just worship you. We declare you're King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords. We thank you for the gift of your Son that you gave. There was nothing further that could be given than you've given to us. The gift of your Son, that we might receive the adoption into your family, that we might be rescued, delivered, healed, and saved out of all the trouble we've gotten ourselves into. God, we thank you that your peace has been spoken over us and established in our heart. And Holy Spirit, we pray you would come and you would quicken us with the word of your grace that's able to build us up. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, last week I was talking about the continual feast. All the days of the afflicted are evil, less than they were meant to be. But the merry heart, the good heart, the cheerful heart has a continual feast. So it's very important that we keep feasting on the promises of God. Keep feasting on the things that God has spoken to us and for us. Keep feeding ourselves from the word of God. Man doesn't live, woman doesn't, human beings don't live by physical food alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So be wise. Be wise in these days. Paul wrote to Timothy, In the last days, perilous times will come. Wild, turbulent days that are full of selfishness and violence and rebellion and all that we see around us. And our place is not to be swept away by that or get depressed by that, but our place is to continually feed on the bread of heaven. You know, you can feed on the bread of heaven every day. It's a continual feast. You could make a time in a place where you just say, God, I want to eat this body and drink this blood every day. I'm going to consecrate a place. I'm going to come with a time and I'm going to feed on the bread of his faithfulness, the bread of his presence. I'm telling you, we need it. We need it. We need it every day. I need it every day. So why? Because you're called to be light in the darkness. And I just want to declare this over you. It doesn't matter what the time, the season, the circumstances, this is God's heart for you. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So I pray that your soul would prosper, that you'd keep your soul, your whole person healthy in your mind, your will, your emotions, what you allow in, how you hear. Be careful how you hear, that what you hear would you would hear with the hearing of faith, because that is able to save you. Man, I just feel like I need this myself. I'm saying, I pray that you will find the feast. You'll find that feast and that you'll overflow wherever you go. And that's really our challenge. And man, what a challenging season we've been in. You know, the masked virus, you know, the invisible enemy that invaded so much of the world caused a crisis and a lockdown. And that seemed really bad. And then there's been deaths. And then there's been what was, you know, back in early March, the strongest economy in the history of the United States growing is now the worst economy. Wow, what a quick, you know, 3-month dive. We pray it recovers. And then there's all kinds of controversies about cures and stuff. Here's the vaccine we need. We need the vaccine against negative news that kills our hope. That's what God, inoculate us so that what we hear won't discourage us, won't rob our hope, but we will be immune from the hopelessness and despair that's in the world. But we'll be cures. We'll actually be the cure. Come on, Jesus, help us. You'll be better than hydroxychloroquine. And even if it's censored, the word will get out. All right. So we ran through. I mean, you know, that was bad enough that we had this hopeless disease. And then we came to this murder of George Floyd that just plunged the nation into grief, you know, and into despair and into hopelessness and into wondering. And it immediately broke out in peaceful protests and prayer meetings that were really healing and, you know, going for healing. But along with the peaceful protests and the many prayers and the opportunities to bless and encourage and pray for cities and pray for the police department, pray for people in government, have come violent riots that have nothing to do with that, that have a completely different agenda. We just believe God has an answer from heaven that's going to stop it in Jesus' name. I'll just say that, okay? But in all this, you can get the idea like, man, it seems like the enemy is like, he's advancing. But I want to tell you something. In the midst of any attack of the enemy, grace on you increases. And that this is an opportunity for the church to raise its voice, an opportunity for the church in unity to speak love and hope and reconciliation deliberately to raise our voice. So I want to talk about that. And sometimes we might feel like we're shouting in the darkness. That's okay. I'm going to authorize you to do that. We have to raise our voice. We cannot be intimidated. We can't let the cancel culture cancel our message. We can't worry that we're going to be like, you know, taken off of something and not say what needs to be said. We must speak the truth in love. And it's on so many fronts. It's on human, the very nature of humanity itself. It's on the nature of marriage. It's on the kind of economy and government we want to live under. It's on the goodness of God and the goodness that's in you, and that not one of us is defined by the color of our skin. And that God deliberately made human beings in all kinds of colors and with all kinds of cultures, and he loves them all. It's kind of like you wouldn't want a garden with just one flower growing in it. But he looks, oh, there's this one, there's that one, there's this one. There's like, I mean, God loves cultures like we love whatever you like. Okay. I mean, it's just like he loves the variety, don't you? I mean, not too many families have every child the same. Once in a while you find that, and it's a phenomenon that just defies understanding. But most families, it's kind of like, how? Really? I mean, you know, our kids were born at home, so I know where they came from. But they were so different. So different, you know? And I mean, how much more cultures and families that grow up and develop their own individual characteristics. And God, we just speak a message of reconciliation that God takes all the divisions and he unifies us in Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm just going to say this. And here's the thing. We're not, you know, we're going to raise our voice. We're going to spare not. We're going to lift up our voice. We're going to go from what we say in private, we're going to be able to speak in public. I'm just declaring that. That's why our private times with God are so important, because we're living in this age of information and there's too much information. Have you noticed that? Hey, it's the information age. Hooray. No, it's not good. Because how many have felt like there's too much information and the information conflicts? It conflicts. Like, what's the truth? We don't know. Here's what we need. We need revelation. And so, God, we just pray and release. I'm just praying it over you right now. I'm declaring that revelation will come to you and you'll be able to discern what's true, what's good, what's lovely, what's eternal. And those will be the things that fill your heart and fill your mouth, because out of the abundance of our hearts, our mouths speak. God, raise our voice. And now, you know, we're in a time, there's all these fractions and frictions, and what we need is a king. You know, it's like, what we need is a king, and what we have is a king, and he is sure and steady and seated, and he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have this understanding that even though we don't like the time we're in, nothing happens in your life as a child of God that is not permitted and ordained by God. And what appears to be chaotic is actually some of the unfolding of your destiny. And I want to speak that especially over the younger ones here, and you're thinking like, what a mess for such a time as this. God, I just pray that you would reveal, that you would give hope, that light would shine, and you would give us each answers for our own situation, and that our life is actually an answer and a cure for situations that are outside. See, he'll take us from the private world where we cultivate heaven and we cultivate the mind of Christ, and he'll set us in places where we have opportunity to speak. And some of us, you know, that will speak publicly. Many of it will just be in conversations, one-on-one, just a word, you know, a word in season that refreshes the weary. God, fill our hearts with the refreshing that comes from heaven every day. All right. So anyway, so this is our goal. We want to live in faith. We want to live in love. Because when we live in love, we live in God, and God lives in us. And that's, to me, that's the challenge, you know, that my challenge is not just to love my friends. And that, I will tell the truth. There have been times when I've been challenged to love my friends. Anybody in a family? I mean, you know, it's like challenged to love my brother, love my sister. And, you know, and I think the problem is them, but I'm telling you, the truth is, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother or my sister, it's me. So God, cure us of that cause every pressure that comes upon us to be an invitation to cry out, to come to the one whose yoke is easy, whose burden is light, and learn from him. How do we walk in this time? How do we? So anyway, all this I'm saying, because my goal is that we're not robbed, but that we continually go to the feast table and get so full of God that we overflow with it. And that when the whole world's having a bad time and the people are walking around and you can feel palpable anger and danger in the air, that what's coming out of you is peace and joy. And you're not afraid, because perfect love casts out fear. So I'm going to tell you a story here. It's an exhortation to not be silent, because I think this is the time where God is calling us to lift our voices and be heard. Heard in heaven, but also heard on the earth. And so you can turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to start with verse 46. This is the story of blind Bartimaeus, who was shouting in the dark. By the way, it's the last healing recorded in Mark's gospel, and I think in all the gospels, but I didn't look that up. And I was talking to people between services, or otherwise I would have. But it's very interesting, you know, what is first, what is last. They're always like, they're important, they're bookends. They're like, okay, in the whole story, this is important, you know. So this is the last miracle, healing miracle that Jesus performs before he goes to the cross. So Mark chapter 10, verse 46, they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. He was sitting by the way. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be shut up, silent. And he cried out all the more. Do you understand? He cried out all the more. He got louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. And the blind man, and here's what happened, verse 49, Jesus stopped. New King James says he stood still. Something had risen above the tumult of the crowd. And he said, call him. And they called the blind man and said to him, hey, cheer up, take heart, have courage, get up. He's calling you. Verse 50, and throwing off his cloak, he jumped up, he sprang up, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, Rabboni, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Literally, your faith has saved you. And immediately, he recovered his sight and followed him, Jesus, in the way. And so this is an amazing little story and a great miracle here. And it's so interesting that it's set at Jericho. Jericho is 846 feet below sea level. It's not as low as the Dead Sea, but it's getting there. And it's like 3,500 feet in elevation between Jericho and Jerusalem. It's only 20 miles, but they're a rugged 20 miles. And so Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and they go through Jericho, and there at Jericho, there's a miracle that involves a sound. It's so interesting because, of course, many of you know the story. When Joshua led Israel into the promised land, the first battle was the Battle of Jericho. And Jericho was walled around with mighty walls. You can look it up in the Encyclopedia Britannica, any, you know, secular information. The one that they may not know about the Bible, but they know Jericho had massive walls. It had massive walls around it. And so it represents almost an impregnable problem, something that you can't solve. And so they don't know what to do. How are they going to attack it? And their strategy is given, well, just tell everybody to be quiet and walk around the city. And they did this once. Each day, they carried the ark around. They did it for 7 days. On the seventh day, they went around 7 times. And at the end of the seventh time, Joshua cried out, shout. And when he cried out, shout, they all gave a shout. And the trumpets blew, and there was a supernatural sound release that caused the walls to fall down. And people think that they fell down in such a way that they actually created ramps for the armies of Israel to come in and attack Jericho. And of course, Jericho, they're just laughing their heads off in their thing and like, what a bunch of idiots. Look at those Holy Ghost people with their tambourines, and they're not even playing them, and they're not shouting, and they've got their shofars, and they're not blowing them. And all of a sudden, there's a timing where they all lifted their voices in unity, and in unity, God released a breakthrough miracle from heaven that changed the history of the world. Now, it's a very interesting that this miracle that involves Bartimaeus also involves a loud shout. Just saying, you know, that then there's something about when we lift our voices together, we lift our voices in faith and in passion, in one accord, that it releases something. And in order to be in one accord, we have to lay down some of our own opinions and some of our own preferences and the way we see it. And we have to realize we desperately need to come together. It's Psalm 34, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Could we just all say together? What if we come to a place where we can raise our voice together? We're all crying the same thing from the same heart that's rooted in scripture, rooted in promises, rooted in love, rooted in faith. And there would be a cry arise that would just cause problems that have no obvious solution to be miraculously solved. Jesus. We serve a God of miracles, but we kind of forget that miracles are what he does. I loved what we were singing today. You know, I mean, Ezekiel went to the Valley of Dry Bones and God, he took him around for a while. I mean, it must have been discouraging. What do you see? Bones, dry bones. Well, let's look over here. They're very dry. They're so dry. They're turning to powder. God, there's no obvious solution. And then God says, Ezekiel, prophesy. And then he heard the sound of dry bones rattling. Come on. I mean, see, dry bones rattling is only the beginning of the miracle. They came together and they're, anyway, we'll talk about that some other time. But so God, would you give us one heart and one mind? And we all acknowledge we didn't all grow up in the same house, but now we're all part of the same house. See, do you understand? God loves it that he brings us together from all our different backgrounds and all our different ways of and strengths and weaknesses that we all have. And together we become something that we can't be by ourselves. And his goal is to bring us to a place of one accord. 10 days in the upper room. 120 Jewish people. You've got about 150 different opinions about how things should be done. Maybe 300, but in those 10 days, in their seeking the Lord, God brought them together so that when the day of Pentecost came, they were of one mind, they were in one accord. They were all feeling the same passion. God, do it. So I just wanna say, I feel like we're moving into a season of prayer together. You know, that I think And it's been awkward and hard. There's things we wanted to do through the summer, but because of all the restrictions, you know, night meetings and all these things, they're complicated, but as we're reopening, we're going to reopen as the house of prayer for all nations. We're going to reopen and we're going to have some seasons of prayer together. But I want to get you rumbling in August that, you know, when you get together, when you meet with friends, especially if you're with Christian friends, you know, somewhere in there, maybe you're just all came to do something. I don't know if you could be watching a game or something. That doesn't seem to be happening too much these days, you know. Maybe watching a golf match or a ping pong tournament or whatever you're doing, going fishing, but somewhere in there just say, hey, let's pray together. Wherever there's two or three of us, God is here in a special way. Let's just have a 5-minute prayer. You know, what's really on your heart? Let's pray for it. Let's agree. Let's do that with each other. Some of those could break out into 3-hour prayer meetings, but I'm just saying, but if we, let's break the silence of being separated by this fear of the dread disease and other things that, and I'm not mocking it, I'm just saying these things keep us apart and God calls us together. Okay, just a thought. I mean, and if you feel like, man, I can't get together, but let's have a Zoom prayer meeting. Let's have a FaceTime prayer meeting, you know. And let's go for it. Let's start praying, crying out to God for the things that we say, God, there's a real need here in our city, in our family, in our nation. You pick the arena. I'm sure there's a need. Okay. Why am I talking? What does this have to do with blind Bartimaeus? Okay, well, let's think about this. So there, Bartimaeus's breakthrough came. You know, Bartimaeus was sidelined. He was marginalized. He wasn't a shaker and mover in his society. He was kind of forgotten. Maybe he was even obnoxious. But what he lacked in eyesight, he made up for with insight. And somehow, as the crowd's moving along, and he's saying, hey, what's going on? What? You know, he's hearing all the sound. He can't see it, but he's hearing all the sound. What is it? He said, oh, Jesus of Nazareth is going by. And something went bang. Jesus of Nazareth. I heard some stories about him. And just in that recognition, maybe because he wasn't welcome to be part of the crowd. He was sitting as an outsider. He's listening to it all go by. There's something inside him that says, this is what I need. This is the one I heard. I heard what he did. I heard he healed some life. And it starts stirring up in him. And so, you know, everyone in the crowd with Jesus had their opinions and they had agendas. Some of them were going like, man, we're going up to Jerusalem. He's going to establish the kingdom. He's the great rabbi. He's the Messiah. And others are just kind of caught up like, what's going on anyway? You know, some are probably there trying to sell T-shirts or, you know, trying to market whatever they're doing. But see, what he was thinking, man. See, and really, I mean, it doesn't matter how we think of Jesus because what matters is the truth of his person. Like I could have a wrong opinion about Jesus. That doesn't change Jesus. It just keeps me from accessing the fullness of who he is, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so all of this comes together in an insight in Bartimaeus' heart, and he has revelation as he begins to speak. And so he's crying out and, you know, like when it hits him, he gets rid of cool and casual. You know, he's not going like, wow, this is really awesome. I, you know, Jesus, would you heal me? You know, like if he was mumbling, no one would have ever heard him. But something that, you know, revelation gave him a voice and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And it's like, do you realize he's the second human being? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the second human being to have this revelation of who Jesus is and cry out. Now, a few demons had cried out, you know, thou Son of David, what are you? And he just told them to shut up. But now, what's very interesting, so Bartimaeus cries this out, and he, you know, but he doesn't have any status. He's blind, begging. He's unpopular, irrelevant. He's loud. And, you know, he's the guy, maybe he always misbehaved. Maybe this wasn't out of order for him. Maybe they did, oh, there's Bartimaeus. Watch out, you know, because he's not cool. And so he just cried out of this. He found his voice. So my prayer, God, take us in our situations where we feel desperate, that we might begin to hear something we haven't heard, that it would turn into revelation, and that that revelation would give us a voice to not just to cry out, not just in begging, but in decreeing. See, like before he made his request, he made a decree, Jesus, son of David. Then his request is, have mercy on me, which of course is what God does. And so I'm just saying, like in the dark, let's God keep us in faith that we just, and isn't this strange? I mean, the thing like Bartimaeus may have been ashamed. He was Bartimaeus. Its name means son of Timaeus. Where's Timaeus? You know, some people speculate his father was a famous man. That's why they called him Bartimaeus. And we don't know what happened to the family. Did he get rejected? Did it all turn into catastrophe? One scholar I read thinks that his name actually means there's a really derogatory term, and I won't say it yet. But it's like, you know, but in, could it be that the very thing that we might be ashamed of is a setup for God to reveal his glory? See, like he might go, well, I'm blind, God must not like me. But could that be there's things in our lives where we feel our weakness, we feel our need, we feel that the cards are stacked against us, that life hasn't dealt us a fair hand, and that that's actually a setup for God to release his glory in our lives? I mean, that kind of gets rid of a lot of bad attitudes, doesn't it? And so, oh, Jesus. I mean, imagine what, his internal world day after day comes out there. He has his little beggar's cloak that he sits on and he hopes somebody will throw coins in and not, you know, throw pickles or acorns or whatever. I don't know. You know, sometimes people walk by and they want to look like they're generous. So instead of giving him a real gift, they just give him something that they didn't want, you know. And so there's all these issues. But, you know, he's not safe, he's not cool, he's not convenient, and he's desperate. And so when he cries out, everyone told him to be quiet. Now, it's interesting, when the demons cried out, Jesus told them to be quiet. When Bartimaeus cried out, the crowd rebuked him. Wonder what that crowd was full of, you know? but he didn't pipe down. He got louder. You know, he went against the current. He didn't let the direction of the crowd determine his direction. He was moving in the direction of his miracle, and he cried out all the more. All the more. Like maybe he was at 90 decibels, and they told him to shut up, and now he's really desperate, and he's crying out at 120 decibels. You know, maybe it was almost like a supernatural sound coming out of him, because sometimes in our cry, we think it's just us, but God is actually in our cry. So he cries out all the more, and it was so loud that Jesus, it kind of came through all the hustle and bustle of the crowd, and it's like, bing, kind of like when the woman touched the fringe of his garment. It's this desperation, and he stops. And he says, call him. Come on. I mean, could it be, I mean, the thing that you are so desperate about, maybe you've been ashamed about, that your desperation actually causes God to invite you to get specific. He said, call him. So then they ran to him. And now, you know, it's like they all changed. Like, well, you know, he must be famous now. He's, you know, it's kind of like, well, I didn't know you were anybody, Bartimaeus. Come on, let's go. And as soon as Bartimaeus said he was calling for you, he did something radical. He threw off his cloak. You know, his beggar cloak. And if you've heard Randy Clark teach on this, that was his license to beg. That allowed him to officially sit there day in, day out. That was his living, his place of security. And he just threw it off. Now, you have to understand, he threw it off as a blind man. Like, he has no idea where it went. And these people aren't very friendly, you know, but he's something like, I'm done with that. I'm done with being a blind beggar. I'm done. And then he sprang up whenever he bumped into anybody. I'm picturing this guy, can't see, you know, like, and then he, you know, I mean, somehow he went to, I think the people helped him get to Jesus, but I just love it. I just love thinking about this. And, And they, you know, they tell him, cheer up. And so he does this. And when he gets to Jesus, Jesus gives him a blank check. He says, well, what is it you'd like me to do for you? Oh, man, like, oh, God, I have 120. But you know what? In those times when God's calling us, usually there's one thing on our heart. A couple times in my life, I've had the Lord invite me, ask me what you want. I wish it was every day, but probably I'm too unfocused or so. I don't know why. But in those times, it's very interesting. My answers are always really holy. You know, there's something that happens when God, you know, you're face to face with God and in his presence, we become like him. And so he says, what is it you want? And instead of asking for a bunch of stupid things, he asks for the thing he really needs. He says, I want the recovery of my sight. And Jesus said, go your way. First he says, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has, literally the Greek word is sozo, which can be translated saved. He said, your faith, your trust that I could do this, you're crying out to me. This whole scenario has already accomplished it, Bartimaeus. And then he gives him his freedom. He says, go your way. Now, he's been sitting by the way, and Jesus says, you can go your way. And the very next phrase says, and he, meaning Bartimaeus, followed him, meaning Jesus, in the way. So Bartimaeus's way became Jesus' way. Like when Jesus gave him his absolute, like you can go do it your own thing. Bartimaeus said, I want to do your thing. He was drawn to it. And my prayer is that as you go through this process, you find yourself in those encounters with God where he's asking you what you want and what you want is what he wants. And that where you were by the way, and then you're offered your own way, you choose his way. I mean, it's an awesome story here. I mean, there's a healing miracle that took place because of the cry of a human voice crying out. There's an encounter with God offering anything in the world. And there's this man who was once blind and now can see saying, I want to do whatever you say. Maybe some people here, you can stand up. We're just about wrapping this up. But there might be people here, you've been bitter, hurt, broken. I'm telling you, God wants to break stuff off of your life. And you might say, well, I'm not blind, but maybe your heart's blind. But maybe, you know, maybe you haven't lost. See, Bartimaeus lost something. There are things that we lost that just continue in our life. Maybe there's been a curse of generational poverty. I mean, I know people that it's like they were doing fine, something bad happened, and everything got reversed. And then the next generation rises up and they build and something bad happens and everything gets reversed. That's what I mean by generational poverty, that there's something that keeps coming after and wasting the thing. Some of the people, it's emotional bondage. Some of the people, it's sickness or proneness to disease. All of these things, he comes to us to break the walls that are keeping us out of the land of promise. God, have mercy on us. God, bring us to a place where we hear with the hearing of faith. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. So I just want to say to anyone, if you don't know Jesus, it's like we're blind. We were born to be children of God. Sin damages and destroys that possibility. We come to Jesus. He restores what was intended from the beginning and welcomes us into this family. So there's all kinds of levels of application of this story when we lift up our voice and we say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Some of you, if you've been You've been in rebellion. You've been in sin. You've never known him. Here's the cry. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's the promised Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. When we cry out to him, it's like, you know, the confession of our mouth, the belief in our heart brings us into freedom, into salvation. We believe that and we cry out, but we give it words. So some of you, wherever you are, you can just cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Save my soul. He said, your faith has saved you. It's my trust. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of David. I believe you are the Savior of the world. I believe that you are the Deliverer. I believe you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Would you save me? Would you restore my life? And when you cry out in faith that the Holy Spirit comes into your life, your sins are forgiven. Notice there's no conversation with Jesus about, well, Bartimaeus, you know why this happened, don't you? There was no condemnation. There was forgiveness, healing, restoration. And that's for everyone here. Everyone here. And so I just invite you, if that's where you're at, that you would make this transaction with God, that you would say, God, I want to follow you. I need to come into you and have things restored that have been stolen. Sometimes we know the Lord, but we're still facing loss, attack, sickness, disease, family discord. I'm so aware of business owners who've, in this current economic policy, disease, whatever we want to call it, situation, your businesses are being threatened. And I just want to say, I want to encourage you to cry out, that you cry out, that you lift your voice, that you find a place of desperation and faith mixed together, and you cry out, and God will bring and release the breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Whoa, this is a little more serious than the first service. I'm just telling you, but I'm just saying, I declare over you a boldness to lift your voice, a boldness to not be intimidated, a boldness to not be discouraged and not be pressed back, a boldness that says, as long as you have breath, you're going to praise the Lord. That it's not over till it's over, and as long as you're breathing, you're going to keep believing. As long as you have voice, you're going to lift it up. I want to read this over you, some verses out of Psalm 34, and then we'll bless you. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. We're going to do this together. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Right now, as you raise your voice, there's going to be a grace on you that you hear bad news, you get a bad doctor's report, you get a bad financial situation. As you raise your voice, the Lord will answer you and deliver you from your fears. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. I declare this over you, over your family, over your life. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Happy, blessed is the man, is the woman who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Amen, amen, amen. So we're going to shout in the dark here, okay? We're going to shout in the dark. Why do we do that? Because it stretches and it strengthens and it solidifies our faith. We shout in the dark. It's almost like we're washing our brain with the water of the truth, you know. So let's here's what I'm going to say. We did this last week, and we'll do the shout again on this week. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no lack, okay? It's real simple. We're going to say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no lack. Now, how about if we if we shout all the more. Okay, one more time, extra loud. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. All right, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine on your life and through your life. May he be gracious to you. You're living in the favor of God. When you pray, may you know he lifts up his face and he looks you right in the eye and he gives you his shalom, his peace. Shalom, shalom, shalom. As you go out into the darkness, that you shine like stars in the midst of the universe. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. Amen.